Podcastle, episode 602 for November 26th, 2019. Frankenpuppy by Derek Kunskin, rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcastle Live. I am Jen Albert, co-editor at Podcastle, and we're in Ottawa today. As everyone here knows, the listeners maybe don't. We are at CanCon live recording a story. The story that we're going to do today is by CanCon's very own Derek Kunskin, and it's called Frankenpuppy. Derek left molecular biology to work with street kids in Central America and eventually found himself working for the Canadian diplomatic world with refugees in Colombia. He now writes science fiction and fantasy in Gatineau, Quebec. He has two published novels, The Quantum Magician and The Quantum Garden, and he's also creating comics. He has a YA webcomic called Briar World at webtoon.com with artist Wendy Mulden, and a comic book version of Frankenpuppy on Comixology with artist Trevor Markwort in Flip Volume 2. We have a bunch of fabulous narrators today because this is a full cast production. So just sort of wave the narrators as I say your name so that people know who you are. So Brandon Crilly spends his days making stuff up and shaping, corrupting the minds of children. J.M. Frey is an author, voice actor, screenwriter, and professional smarty pants. Her novels have won several awards, including the 2019 Wattie Award and the Publishers Weekly Best Book of the Year in 2011. Charlotte Ashley won the Award of Merit in the 1994 Sears Festival for the Performing Arts and absolutely nothing else over the next 25 years, so now she writes instead. Jay Ojik is an artist, writer, and TV producer who honestly, genuinely believes he can get through this without cussing. Bless his wee heart. Rati Mrocha is a science fiction and fantasy writer who has a thing about telepathic blades, talking cats, and incomprehensible aliens. Sylvain Nouvelle is totally on schedule writing his next novel and is not here hiding from his editor at all. And this performance is also going to feature all of you, the audience. So thank you for that. And make a little bit of noise so everyone can hear you. Your producer today is Katie Brisky. And she's going to talk to you a little bit about what's going to happen in the production and how you guys are going to help us. So Katie Brisky is an author and podcaster with short fiction across the internet and a cat more famous than she is. Follow Guinness on Twitter.
And our host is the fabulous Jen R. Albert, co-editor of Podcastle. She is an award-winning, nominated, declining, and destroying editor. So welcome, everyone, to Podcastle Live. What we are doing with this production, which is kind of cool, is we are doing the Foley effects. So these are the sound effects. So this is when you use different objects to recreate sounds that you would hear in the production. So you're going to be seeing me up here with many common household objects being used in interesting ways to help bring our story to life. But one of the things that I am using to bring the story to life is all of you! So there are two key points in this show where we will need your help. There's going to be one point where we need you to roar, like Frankenstein reanimated monsters. When you see this sign, this one that says roar, you're going to have to roar, and when I put it away, you need to stop. So, you're quiet, and then... that was really good. I want you to reach deep into your hearts and find your inner undead reanimated being of horror. And we're going to try it one more time. Are you ready? Okay. You guys are pros. This is going to be awesome. Number two is there is a scene of general destruction and chaos. So when this chaos sign goes up, I would like more roaring, but also general scuffling. Move your chair, slap your stuff around, stomp your feet. Pretend you're destroying a building of some sort. Oh man, you guys are the best actors ever. I love this.
I quit.
Cool. I think that's it for me. Mm-hmm. Are you satisfied?
I have. Frankenpuppy by Derek Kunskin. Read by Brandon Crilly, J.M. Frey, Charlotte Ashley, Jay Ojik, Rati Mrocha, Sylvain Nouvelle, with audio effects by Katie Brisky.
In the third yard, the puppy darted a suspicious look back at its tail. Then, as if remembering what he'd been doing, he swung his head forward, panted, and sat in the grass. Beyond the ratty picket fence, patched skyscrapers stood in the hazy blue distance like uneven teeth. The puppy delighted himself with a high bark. The red bricks of the house behind him were remortared, but straight. The puppy's tail thumped the ground. He lay down, rolled onto his back, then looked at her, barking as his tail resumed thumping. Child fingers, some bright pink, others brown, sewn with tiny stitches to a strong dark hand, brushed wonderingly at the soft fur before wriggling and tickling.
Who's a good boy?
The puppy stretched, then playfully wrapped his paws over her wrist and nipped at the tough skin with teething canines. Francesca giggled and yanked her hand away. The puppy yipped and followed her fingers, his swinging tail swaying his whole body. Two skinny arms, scarred and mismatched, lifted and hugged him. Her brown hair brushed the top of the puppy's head. The puppy wriggled a bit, his tail stilling. One arm was across his belly and one was under his snout. He struggled uncertainly, his mouth opening wide.
I love you so much!
Francesca said, eyes closed, cheek against the softness of his head as she hugged him with all the love in her revivified heart. A snap sound, and the puppy stopped struggling. She loosened her grip. The puppy was limp.
Mommy!
Oh, no! Francie, I told you to be careful with real puppies! Dennis, it happened again! This is the fourth one. Why do you keep getting cheap ones?
Dennis stood in the middle of the kitchen, a trail of oily steps leading from the garage behind him. His gray shirt was clean, buttoned to the bolts on his neck, sleeves ripped off at the shoulder seam, leaving his wiry, mismatched arms showing.
Puppies are cheap.
Melanie eyed him skeptically from under hair piled into a dark beehive.
Mommy!
Francie sat teary-eyed at the table, the plastic straw spearing her unsipped Mummy's Curse juice box. Melanie wiped Francie's tears with her palm.
Puppies are filthy anyway. We might as well build a dog.
Don't be crude in front of Francie, dear.
Mommy, no, please! I want a puppy! Not a big grown dog!
Melanie watched Dennis defiantly.
Well, why don't you build one?
So, an animal? Don't say adult stuff in front of Francie.
Melanie's muscled shoulders, both pale with a slight grayish tinge, slumped a bit.
What happened to us, Dennis? We were wild once.
Dennis waved his arms at the kitchen with its neat skeleton wallpaper, linoleum flooring, range and stove, and big white fridge with its polished femur bone handle.
We grew up. We made a good life.
You changed, Dennis.
What does that mean? You want me to build a puppy?
Yes!
They glared at each other as Francie looked from one to the other, one hand gripped tight in Melanie's apron frills.
I didn't change. I'll build a dead puppy.
Yay!
Roshni was peeking over Dennis's fence, straining her neck to better see the crackling blue welding light spilling from the garage into the evening. Roshni came to the foot of the driveway, then to the garage door. Two hanging bulbs lit dusty benches scattered with parts and tools. Roshni straightened her name tag. She smoothed her hair over a wide, hairless skin graft reaching almost to the crown of her head. Dennis was forcing the tip of the welder into small metal cervical joints, his welding mask lifted high so he could better see.
Is that a dog skeleton?
Dennis started, spinning to block the view with his body. The welder dropped. So did one of the metal legs attached to what looked like a spine.
What? No, hi, Roshni. How's Suresh?
Don't be embarrassed. I'm with the Frankensteiner Church.
Roshni picked up the leg from the floor and handed it to Dennis.
Is your wife upset you're building a dog?
Dennis took the stiff skeletal limb, his fingers tracing nervous lines on it.
She experimented with xenografts in college. Just for medical research, of course.
Awkwardly, Dennis turned to test the torque on a silver drill.
Have you thought of letting Frankenstein into your heart? The Sohn Baptismal Church of Frankenstein opens its...
Look, I really have to build a puppy. I'd appreciate it if you kept us quiet. I didn't tell anybody about that thing in your pool.
Dennis positioned the drill bit against a metal vertebra. Roshni scratched at skin flaking around the bolts in her neck. Dennis's muscles bunched as he leaned into the spinning drill. Steel shavings peeled off. It looked like the drill was going to get through and maybe pierce his hand when the vibrations shook off another leg.
It's so transgressive.
We'll keep it inside. No one will know.
Are you sure you don't already believe in the Frankenstein?
Dennis selected a long, crooked needle threaded with old electrical wiring and tried to figure out how to sew the fallen leg back into the joint where the weld had broken.
You can make a puppy-sized body out of steel, but it'll short-circuit during the revival process.
Dennis eyed her.
My father sewed me together himself at night, after the other factory workers went home. He taught me how to sew.
Dennis lowered the needle and leaned the two-legged dog skeleton against the wall.
Melanie and I killed fresh humans to make Francie. We sewed and electrified her together.
He looked at the needle and repurposed wire.
Now we seem to be angry a lot.
You made your own daughter with the same process the Creator used to make the first sewn people. Why are you an atheist?
Dennis put on his reading glasses and examined the hip joint.
Come, see the sanctity of the Frankenstein.
I have to build a puppy.
He succeeded in forcing the needle through the small steel hole, but then the spine snapped. It all collapsed. Roshni touched Dennis's arm.
I'll help you.
Dennis and Roshni drove to the human town outside the city in a rust-colored streamliner with a broken windshield. The sun shone bright as they pulled up to the high wooden palisades surrounding the settlement. Humans in the fields scattered. Dogs barked. Pitchforks and torches were brandished defiantly at the gates. Dennis stepped out, balancing coffee, sunglasses, and keys as dogs retreated.
They must have sturdy dogs here.
Anything not sewn breaks pretty easily.
A human threw a torch. The dogs cowered and tried to slink away from Dennis. He handed his coffee to Roshni and bent to examine one of them. He felt at its internal organs. The dog flinched and yelped and scrambled to run. Dennis led it.
Even adult dogs are flimsy. Maybe if I sewed two together...
Dennis surveyed the pack, still barking.
Grow stronger, dogs!
He yelled at the humans and took his coffee.
Maybe check the free-range humans? Their dogs might be tougher.
It seemed like a futile hope.
Do you honestly believe one of these made us?
Dennis gestured at the cowering humans.
That's why they call it a miracle.
Dennis took one of Roshni's forearms, looking at it through his reading glasses.
This might make a good puppy foot.
Roshni pulled away her arm.
The church and law say the same thing. Only sew with human parts. The sewn are sanctified because we have intelligence. But
we've made some real-life animals.
Dennis swatted Roshni's arm.
Pervert?
They're at the freak show at the Bible camp. Do you want to see?
Only perverts go to freak shows.
One dog came close, barked loud enough to scare itself, and ran off.
Yes.
The sign above the driveway said, "The Sewn Baptismal Church of Frankenstein." A number of buildings with off-white siding and cheap windows ringed a small lake with rickety boats, a listing dock, and a new volleyball net. Everyone was dressed like Roshni, black slacks, white shirt, and collar with the sleeves torn, and name tags. Men had added black polyester ties. A group of sewn children were playing a game under the supervision of overly cheerful teens with whistles. A wooden effigy of Frankenstein stood in the middle of the camp.
Capture the flag around statues to mythical humans to bring spiritual enlightenment? Really?
We're a fully experimental Bible camp.
They walked past the grass parking lot to a fair tent with a sun-beaten wooden sign that said, "Freak Show." Dennis peeked his head inside and whistled. Roshni looked in, grinning with pride. Big wooden tables lined the perimeter of the tent, stacked to bending with big jars of formaldehyde and floating animal specimens, many of which were sewn together.
Imagine if we could recover lost arts, remake legendary monsters.
Dennis bent close to a jar of preserved piglets, each sewn from pieces in a symphony of mismatches.
No one knows you've been sewing animals?
We don't want bad press. But if we brought back a real monster, who's going to argue with our methods?
Wait a minute. They don't have bolts. None have been electrified. They're just corpses with swapped parts.
Roshni looked sheepish.
Trial and error. We need your help. You need us.
So, you don't know how to make puppies?
Dennis stormed out of the tent.
We want to. We really want to.
Melanie lay in bed, propped on pillows, wearing a sheer nightgown that revealed her many seams and scars. Dennis paced under the bare light bulb. Wolves howled at a full moon.
They didn't know anything, Mel. Their freak show was a joke.
freak show?
He leaned on the windowsill, looking out at Roshni's stupid pool, now filled with dirt. Melanie put a hand on his back.
What kind of idiot walks around with a name tag?
What freak show?
They just want to look scandalous to get Converse to feel dangerous.
He turned. They were very close. She curled a finger around one of his bolts.
Tell me you're going to sew animals.
He pulled the cord on the bulb, leaving just the moonlight.
Oh, I'm gonna sew animals.
You're such a monster.
Their silhouettes merged. Dennis hadn't put on his tie. Melanie was still in her housecoat with her hands on his shoulders. He noted the latest answer from his calculator on the sheaves of paper laying on the table. Francie poured milk on her Mummy O's cereal.
There's still too much resistance for the puppy's body to take a full charge. It'll cook.
You can't do it?
Only a full-sized dog body could take a revival voltage.
Daddy, I want a puppy!
The grafting specimens gave me some ideas, though.
If we go to church, can I see the freak show?
The Baptist church?
We'll call it a date night.
I don't want date night at church.
Yes, you do.
Francie giggled, not understanding. She watched her mother look strangely at her father and then finally whisper in his ear. His expression became increasingly shocked.
What are you saying? Mommy? Mommy? What are you saying?
Quiet, honey. Mommy has some good ideas about puppy making.
Yay!
The clapboard walls of the church looked damaged and repaired and damaged and repaired. The sturdy pews had solid braces where pieces had been fixed. A painting of Victor Frankenstein glowered down from behind the pulpit. The pews filled with bare-armed, sewn people in their Sunday best. To the side was a confessional booth, and at the back stood tables stacked with pamphlets on Letting Frankenstein Into Your Heart. A beaming Roshni pressed one into each of their hands.
I feel silly. There wasn't really a Frankenstein.
When do we see the monstrosities?
See the paintings of the Igors and Draculas and Wolfmans? Imagine if we could remake the angelic beings who helped the Frankenstein.
Some date night.
A sewn man in robes mounted the pulpit. Dennis didn't know many of the scriptural words, but the congregation only had to answer a few lines each time.
Come back, Frankenstein!
Dennis leaned to Roshni.
I rage, children of transgression!
The congregation roared like a herd of bulls. Dennis saw that even Melanie was getting into it. It was cute when she did. The preacher's sermon went on. It sounded like complaining, but when the congregation had to yell back, he tried to fit in.
Build us a family, Frankenstein! This is stupid, honey. We're yelling at a painting.
Shh, it's date night.
As the Creator took the power from God, so must we take the Creator's power.
The preacher lifted a jar sloshing with green liquid.
Come back, Frankenstein!
The Frankenstein transgressed against nature for personal glory and then abandoned us. Life comes from the marriage of tonics and voltage and flesh. The Frankenstein gave us superiority over everything upon the earth.
Make more of us, Frankenstein!
Grace is in the revivification. Creating some people is an act of communion. The Frankenstein looked upon the thing he created, then wept.
As if that was a cue, the roar within the church changed. The congregants wrenched and tore and hit the pews, the floor, the walls, bellowing, trying to rip up anything they could to smash. Dennis helped Melanie rip the pew out of the floor. They heaved together, barely missing a family punching the pulpit. Dennis and Melanie smiled in a sudden stillness encompassing only the two of them. Melanie tugged him by the hand.
Let's violate the confessional.
Dennis looked around the confusion. No one was watching them. He followed her into the dark box. The church was a shambles, as it probably was each week. Pews were smashed, walls bore dents, birds flew through broken windows. Everything was damaged except the painting of Frankenstein. A sewn man in coveralls with fine fingers swept the floor and barely looked up at the emerging couple. No one else was here.
Wrecking the church felt good, but what's the point? If there ever was a real Frankenstein, he's dead. We don't need him now.
We should go terrorize a human village. We haven't done that in years.
They held hands under the Frankenstein painting.
Society says sewing animals is perverted. But I think people are just worried that if an animal can be sewn, what's left about us that's special?
Her shoulders slumped a bit, but she smiled at
him. You don't have to sew a puppy, honey. Francie will get over it. I just got frustrated with asking, is this all there is?
He looked at her fingers, uneven, mismatched, different skin colors, all sewn to muscular hands. They were magnificent, magnificently ugly, unnatural, and beautiful.
Being sewn doesn't give us grace. Transgression does.
We take grace, like everything else we've seized from nature and chaos.
She kissed him again. Dennis stood at the front door with Melanie. On her knees, Francie vibrated with excitement in the middle of the lawn. Roshni and a few neighbors looked over the fence, their scarred foreheads sweaty in the sun.
Are you ready, pumpkin?
Yes!
Dennis opened the door. A big, ghoulish dog bounded onto the lawn. Francie's eyes widened in confusion at its deep chest and its wide mouth and its huge head, sewn onto a big neck, the skin still showing where he'd shaved the body parts. It was a big dog's body, capable of taking a full revivification charge without burning. The only problem had been that the vertebrae of different dogs hadn't fit properly, so the massive head was actually sewn on upside down, the big wet tongue flapping from its snout, slapping one eye. But it was a puppy, too. Four puppies. Every one of the puppies Francie had accidentally loved too hard. He'd sewn the upper bodies and heads of each of the puppies to the ankles where big dog feet would have been. As the dog bounded, the little heads yipped and barked and panted, squeaking in confusion, their faces smushed into the grass. The dog barreled down on Francie but fell over its own head feet, crashing to its back and going still, the big head apparently confused that it was right side up, with all four of the puppy half-bodies lifted high in the air, panting and barking. Francie jumped on the dog's chest, laying her head in the fur while head legs tried to grab and lick her. Francie squeezed so hard that the big dog head wheezed, eyes bulging, tongue hanging like overcooked fettuccine. Then she relented, and the big head began snuffling at the grass.
It's awful.
Mommy, I've got five puppies!
It's a monster!
The dog rolled over, uncertain about stepping on the wriggling puppy heads again, confused by the tilt of its head attached upside down. It craned its neck and licked Dennis's shoe. Francie giggled and tried to catch the slippery tongue.
It's a miracle.
One of the feet barked. Another, the head of the youngest puppy they'd gotten Francie, started dozing off.
It's genius.
It's like the Frankenstein walks among us.
Get the pitchforks.
Dennis and Melanie put their arms around one another, watching Francie jump up and down on her dog's belly between four gleefully licking puppy heads.
So on behalf of everyone at Podcastle, our audio producer, Peter Baravesh, our audio producer for this time will be Katie Brisky, assistant editor and host Setsu Uzume, my co-editor Sheree Clark and myself, and our fantastic first readers, Matt Dovey, Aidan Doyle, Ebony Dunbar, Amelia Harrington, Kai Hudson, Devin Martin, Catherine McMahon, Ace Radcliffe, Julian Jarboe, Craig Jackson, Julia Pat, Hamilton Perez, and Eleanor Wood. It's a big, big family. Thanks for letting us share another story with you. Podcastle is a part of Escape Artists Incorporated and is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Please feel free to share it, but don't sell or change it. If you like what you heard today, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/EAPodcasts and please subscribe. And we will be back next week with another tale.